Parshas Ekev, it says that when you're going to say in your hearts that these nations are so numerous, more numerous than me, Echa Ucha Lahirisham, how can I conquer them? And Hashem says, Leisira Mehem, don't be afraid of them. And Zachatiska Sasha'as Hashem Elekech Lepari Lecha Mitzrayim, remember what Hashem, your God, did to Pare in all of Egypt. Which means, in simple, the definition of the Pasuk and the big lesson you can learn from this Pasuk is that the awareness of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu already helped you in the past will enable you to overcome worry about what you're worrying about now. Betochen eliminates worry. Worry means you're afraid of a future situation that you won't be able to cope with. And you need to remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped you in similar situations in the past. And you'll find it easier to trust in him in the present. And therefore, Moshe told the Klal Yisrael, if you're worried how you're going to be able to defeat the nations who live in Canaan, recall your past experience. Recall how Hashem helped you in similar situations with the Mitzrayim. And your heart will be free from worry when you have an Hakara to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that helped you cope with the difficulties of the past and help you cope further. This is helpful when someone has all types of difficulties. If he has financial difficulties and you were worried in the past about money and somehow you managed, you're afraid you weren't going to do well on a test and somehow you managed. So that is one yisoid in this week's parsha, to be aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how he helped you in the past, and that should give you koyach and confidence that he will help you in the future as well. The next thing, a big yisoid in the parsha, we learn that Birchas HaMazon is a dairaisa, and it says, V'ochalta v'savata uveirachta es Hashem Elokecha. You shall eat, you shall be satiated, you shall bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the land, the good land that he gave you, Eretz Yisrael. And remember not to forget Hashem, not to do mitzvahs. So you see from here, we mention in benching, after the meal, in the Birchas HaMazon, the bris that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Torah that he gave us. And the idea behind it is that after we ate and enjoyed our food, we're telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we know what real value is there to nourishing the body. It's a matana from Hashem, the body. And of course, Hashem gave us this body in order to have the opportunity to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the material benefits that he gave us and is constantly giving us. And Hashem, by meeting our physical needs, we are able to have menuchas hanefesh, yishav adas, and strength to be oisik in Torah and to do mitzvahs and to do maisim tovim. And if a person makes eating a priority in and of itself, and he only thanks for the food and not for the Torah, he will most likely only focus on the material aspects of things. Of course, you get schar for thanking Hashem for that too. But if you're totally physically oriented, you'll ultimately forget about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why the Torah says that if you will eat and you'll be satisfied and bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the land itself, and not for the Torah that he gives us, then you have to remember not to forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Brings us down, grow through Torah from the Chasam Sefer. In Torah's Moshe, that brings out this Yesod. So if you focus on just eating or just the land alone, without seeing the full purpose of why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you that food, why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you that land, then you're missing the essence of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving this to you in the first place. It's okay to have food. It's okay to enjoy the food. Same thing with earning money. It's okay to earn money. It's okay to enjoy this life and buy food and cook food and bake food. And all these things you do is beautiful. But as long as you don't forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the process and you realize the tachlis, which is to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's what you use your body and all its pleasures for. Now it says afterwards, you know, v'ram levavecha v'shachachta, right? If you go overboard with the ribui taiva that Hashem gives you without recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you'll ultimately run into the sakana of forgetting about him. So that's something also that you need to remember to try to do that. Another thing we learn is the idea of where HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls us a amkshei oirif ata, we're a stiff-necked people. So we're going to talk today now about both sides of Kshei Oireif. There's the Pashat Pshat, which we're going to talk about first, that it was a muster, it was a negative thing, that we're stiff-necked, that we're stubborn, we're not willing to make the positive changes that we need to make in our lives. And the Sefarnai, we look at it inside, but he says that it's impossible for there to be righteousness and straightness of a heart if you have that midah of Kshei Oireif. It refers to someone who follows what he feels in his heart, his own subjective thinking, even though a Talmud Chacham may show him clear proof that he's incorrect, he'll be stubborn, and he'll stick to his guns, and he'll say, nothing doing, I'm staying to where I am. And Michtam Liyoi brings down, in Chelek Aleph, page 63, what does it mean, Kshei Oireif? This is when someone sees the truth with his own eyes, and still not willing to change his negative ways. So a person needs to fight this aspect of Kshei Oireif, has to be willing to act in accordance to the Seichel HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him, the clear Seichel, not mixed with Taivas. And it's most people find this difficult. We're human beings. We are impulsive. We have a Yetzirah. So take some hard work and Tefillah for Hashem to help us with this. But we could make positive changes to our behavior, and we could learn to be more flexible, could learn to be more open, and be willing to make the changes that we need. Now, Avigdor Miller, I remembered, I heard many times, both live in his Thursday Shiurim and on his tapes, that there is a positive aspect to Am Kshei Oireif Ata also. What is the positive of Am Kiyam Kshei Oireif? And you can learn Apidrush and Elu Ve'elu Devar Elokim Chayim. It's fascinating that even though it seems like a paradox, is Kshei Oireif a good thing or Kshei Oireif is a bad thing? Apipshat, it looks clearly like Hashem is constantly, when Hashem is kaviyochel frustrated with us, he calls us, you're an Am Kshei Oireif Ata. But at the same time, Rav Avigdor Miller used to say this all the time, that one of the proofs that the Torah is emes la'amitai is because you find in, and he says this, in every other religion you have a leader, whether it's Isaiah Ish by Christianity, whether it's Muhammad by the Muslims, whatever it is, you have this leader and they said whatever they said and you follow him blindly, you don't question anything, and that's it. With Moshe Rabbeinu, they used to badger him. They used to ask him questions. They used to challenge him. Now, sometimes it was a negative thing. Like it says with these Nisyonos, that they should have had more emuna and not question everything. But on the other hand, the fact that they were mevarer and they asked questions and they shows that they didn't just accept things the way it was. Kshei Oireif. They were stubborn about it, that they only wanted to be Makabala Emes if they really believed it was an Emes. And Rav Avigdor Miller, I remember he used to say that it's the difference is between if you take a sharp knife and scratch it on a container of butter, right? Soft butter. You scratch it with a knife, so it makes an indentation in the butter, but very easily you could smooth it over and as if that indentation didn't happen and you just disappears. While if you take that knife and scrape an engravement into hard metal, it lasts. It'll be there forever. It's very hard to get rid of it now. And that's what it means by Kshei Oireif L'malyusa, as a benefit. That we didn't accept things face value. We questioned and we challenged. But ultimately, once we saw the emes for the way it was, it went deep, deep into our bones. And we don't budge from it. The Kshei Oireif, in a certain way, is our downfall. When we know we have to be machnia. But the Kshei Oireif is also our lifesaver, and that's what kept us strong for 2,000 plus years in Golus, where we were not in the spull. We did not waver. We did not become frightened by the Golus, and we continued to stay strong and steadfast in keeping Torah and doing mitzvahs and maisim tovim, precisely because we're Kshei Oireif, precisely because we're hard and we are have a certain stubbornness, but in a positive way, stubbornness. We're going to stick to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his mitzvahs regardless, no matter what. Another limud is when it says "Valimadetem oisem esbenechem ledarabam." You should teach your children to speak in them in Torah, whether b'shifter b'vistecha, lechtavderashach hakmecha, sitting in your home, while you're walking on your way, when you retire at night, and when you arise. The pasuk begins with the word "Valimadetem." You shall teach them in lashon rabim, plural, and then later it says "b'shachbar komecha," singular, when you get up and when you go to sleep. Now, why does it begin in plural and ends in singular? So the Nachal Aliyo explains this, that the Torah is suggesting here that one who seeks to educate his children properly, he needs to do it by example, by his actions. He needs to educate himself first, seeing that his own life is in order, that his own behavior is good, and his hanhaga is excellent, and his midos are pure, and his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sincere and meaningful, and that is when it'll have ashpa on his children. So how does one successfully teach his children? When one speaks in them, when Torah is on your lips, v'dibartabam, v'limadetem oisam esbenechem, but v'dibartabam, your speech affects your hashpa on your children. When you sit at home and your child sees you at home with a sefer that you're learning, your home becomes a makom Torah. It's a place of Torah now. Your four walls of your house, of your room, testifies that you are a ben Torah. Why do you walk this way? When you leave your home, you go into business, you take the Torah with you. Your business dealings with people, regardless of where you're going, is guided by halacha. Your every move is regulated by Torah. When you go to sleep, v'shach b'chav kumecha, and everything in between. So that is really the yesod over here. And that is the true ultimate chinuch of transmitting Torah to your children. We spoke about this a few times, just going to mention it briefly here. There's two types of chinuch, b'negeir, your children. There is a direct chinuch, where you're actually teaching them things, do this, don't do this, and teaching him the proper hanhaga directly, or things that they have to be aware of not to do in a direct way. And then there is the indirect way, which we're talking about over here. The b'shiftcha b'beisecha, you're teaching your children how? By the way you conduct yourself, by how you speak in Torah, by how you sit, how you move, and everything. That is really what Shefa is. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, I heard, used to say this. The word Shefa, or Hashpa, comes from the word Shipua, which is a slant. A slant meaning that when something is on a slant, or let's say you have a water that is on, there's a slant over there. So the water goes downwards on a slant, and it flows downward diagonally into where it needs to go. And that is what hashpa is. When you really want to be mashpia, your children or everyone around you, it's not just telling them things or teaching them certain aspects of Torah that they need to know, but it's more that they are, it's like pouring down by them, by osmosis. Your hashpa is coming down to them in an indirect way by your very conduct, by your very behavior. Even without directly telling them what to do or how to do, by them watching how you conduct yourself, is one of the greatest aspects of chinuch. And in Shalom Bayis, Beinish L'Ishtoi, that is the best way to be mashpia on each other. You could tell each other directly things sometimes. Of course, that's part of Shalom married life, of course. You know how to do it the right way, you do it the right way. But part of it is when you conduct yourself like a noble and erlich, a good husband, as the man of the home, then you don't even have to say anything to your wife. She will notice that higher, dignified manner in which you conduct yourself, and that'll influence her greatly, and the other way around too. When she conducts herself very royally and regally and with dignity in the home, the husband automatically is very strongly influenced by that in a very, very positive way. And that is the idea of hashpa. And that's why, that's the idea of v'limadtem oisem, you teach the children. How do you teach the children? By b'shiftcha b'veisecha, by you conducting the way you conduct yourself at home or wherever you go. And that's the greatest chinuch that you could give to your children. Have a wonderful Shabbos.